Superman was about 1,200 feet over Northern Lights Boulevard when he spotted emergency flashers alongside an apartment building. The building looked even more lopsided than dispatch had indicated.
That must have been aftershocks here, too.
The land under one end of the property had simply dropped away, forming a subsidence trough. Roughly a third of the apartment complex had sunk a full 10 feet. Amazingly, though split in two, both sections of the building were still largely intact. It was only at the rooms along the break that there was noticeable structural collapse. Police and volunteer workers were spread out around the collapse. They worked with levers, shovels, and in some cases their hands, digging out the rubble and carting it away.
Who's in charge here?
Superman, thank God! Boy, can we use you!
Officer...
Jablonski.
Officer Jablonski, what do you need?
Just about everything. All the ground movement here was vertical, so the serious damage was mostly confined to the eight apartments at the split. We've already pulled a couple of people out of the rubble and got them off to the hospital, but there are still at least six we haven't been able to account for. Kids, some of them.
Then let's get to it.
Jablonski scrambled to keep up as Superman strode toward the work line.
Dispatch has promised us a search team and heavy equipment, but they haven't shown up yet. We've been trying to make do, but it's slow going.
I'll do everything I can to speed up the process.
Oh, that's just, super! Everybody, listen up! Let's give Superman some space here. Whatever he says, goes.
Superman nodded his thanks to Jablonski and turned his gaze on the collapsed apartments. He stared intently, tuning his vision through many wavelengths. Brick, wood, and sheetrock became transparent to his sight. Nails, wires, and pipes shimmered before his eyes, and then faded from view as he peered through layer after layer.
No lead piping in these newer buildings. That makes this a lot easier.
He saw the first signs of a human skeleton about 6 feet in and 4 feet down. He concentrated, adjusting the focus of his X-ray vision, and a body began to come into view around the bones.
I found them. Tell dispatch they can reroute that backup.
The Man of Steel ripped away a 10-foot section of crumbling brick facade. Then he grabbed the biggest shovel and dove into the rubble, scooping out huge mounds of it with each sweep.
I need support!
Men came on the run, hauling 8-foot jack posts from the back of a pickup truck. Superman grabbed the posts, two at a time, jamming them up to support the floor overhead, spot welding them into place with his heat vision. He never stopped moving. A line of men and women with buckets and wheelbarrows stretched out behind him, carrying off the debris as he cleared it. Despite their best efforts, they kept falling behind, piles of buckets stacking up in his wake. Within minutes, a 6x8-foot space had been cleared into the collapsed area. He bent down, running his index finger back and forth across the concrete floor, scoring out a new seam a half inch deep. Then he thrust his fingers down into the slab and wrenched it up. A 4x4-foot section of the floor flipped up and over as though it were hinged. Within moments, Superman arose from the hole he'd created with two small children in his arms.
Good news! They're all down here, and they're all alive.
He handed the youngsters to rescue workers and went back for more. Six miles up off the coast of the Pacific Northwest, a bright green flare streaked down from the heavens like a verdant comet. At its center, surrounded by a protective energy field, was the Green Lantern, a lean, lanky figure dressed in black and green. The masked man plunged earthward at three times the speed of sound.
Green Lantern, are you there?
I'm here, Adam. I know I'm running late. I'm going as fast as I can.
Where are you?
I'm about 30,000 feet above Coos Bay, Oregon, heading north by northwest. And yeah, I know I undershot the trajectory a little, but I'll make up the time, I swear. I'll be in Alaska in minutes.
Yeah, don't worry about that. You're actually just about where I need you to be.
How's that?
I'm tracking you now. Divert from your present course. Turn west, 20 degrees, and maintain your current speed.
All right, if you say so. Just, where am I supposed to be going?
Latitude 50 degrees north, longitude 130 degrees, 40 minutes west.
Okay, I can do that.
As Green Lantern sped out over the ocean, he channeled his rule power through his power ring. Vivid green energy flowed from the band's gemstone, utilizing data transmitted from Global Positioning System satellites to create a navigational map that showed his current location, flight path, and destination.
Wait a minute. Are you kidding me? There's nothing in that spot but ocean.
Let's hope so.
What am I supposed to do out there?
Catch a wave, surfer boy. You're gonna catch a wave.
A hemisphere away, in another part of his underground hideaway, the man who called himself Adam stood before an entire wall of video images. There were no tapestries or marble columns in this room. It was lavish only in electronic equipment. The wall he faced held four rows of six large screens, and a control console at waist level showed six smaller displays. The images themselves were of varying quality, from the graininess of streaming webcam video to the sharp digital clarity of commercial network feeds. Across the top of the array were aerial views of the northern Pacific Rim from various surveillance satellites. But at the moment, the screen that most held his attention was a cable news feed.
Hello, I'm Michael Braun. Our top story this hour, citizens in Anchorage, Alaska continue to dig out, with help from the Justice League of America, after the major earthquake that hit that city in the early morning hours.
The screen cut from the news anchorman to an aerial shot of a city street. Large fissures were clearly visible in the pavement, and cars were strewn about as though they were toys, dropped there by a careless child.
Nearly a 250,000 people in this region were literally shaken awake this morning, and no one here has gotten much sleep since. An earthquake registering a 6.7 on the Richter scale hit early this morning. Buildings were destroyed, roads torn apart, but human tragedy was thankfully avoided. The ranks of police, fire, emergency, and civil defense workers have been reinforced by scores of local volunteers, as well as a special task force from the Justice League. Wonder Woman, the Martian Manhunter, the Flash, and Superman have been credited with saving dozens of lives and raising the spirits of local residents. Damages due to the quake are estimated to be well over $1 billion, and area hospitals are approaching their capacity to treat the injured. But thus far, there have been no reported fatalities from this...
Splendid. The earthquake attracted the League just as I surmised. With their strongest members in one area, this will provide the perfect field test. Once again, the Western Hemisphere superheroes come to the rescue, bringing hope to those common mortals. With their great powers, they make it look so easy. It is no wonder that the rabble admire them, even worship them.
Adam weighed the metal rod in his hand, grasping it like a scepter.
Ah, but even the heroes are not all powerful. There is power that not even they can overcome. Would that I could wield it myself. Yes?
We are here, as you requested.
Ah, yes. Come in.
Two of his underlings approached from the entrance. Both were dressed in the green hooded coverall and amber sash of their order. Both stopped at a respectful distance and bowed deeply before him.
1,000 pardons, Sahib.
Well, report!
The underlings dropped to their knees, their palms pressed together in supplication. The one on the left spoke first.
All is proceeding precisely as you ordered, Most Holy One. The initiate you call Brother Mark has been placed within the power chamber.
The speaker touched his hands and forehead to the floor, while the second underling continued.
Energy feed lines have been attached and tested, as have the uplinks. All that remains is the initiate's linkage.
This one joined his fellow in embracing the floor.
Good. I am pleased.
Shall we complete the linkage, then?
Did I bid you to speak further, worm?
The bearded man loomed over the second underling, who cowered in silence.
Take him and bind his mouth. He's not to eat, drink, or speak for a full day. Is that clear?
Most clear, Sahib. Your will be done.
Now be gone. I shall attend to the final linkage myself.
As the subordinate rushed to comply, Adam swept across the room. On the far side of the chamber sat a large cylindrical capsule, 8 feet long and 4 feet in diameter, mounted to a frame that held it tilted up at a 45-degree angle. Adam waved his hand over the capsule, and the top third of it swung back to reveal a quiescent figure. The encapsulated man reclined on a layer of foam molded to the contours of his back. His arms lay loosely at his sides. From the gentle rise and fall of his chest, he appeared to be sleeping.
Mark? Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
You are now in stage one, about to enter stage two.
He reached in and pulled two sensor pads from within the sides of the capsule, placing them on his new recruit's temples.
We are almost there, Mark.
Adam slipped the focusing rod into a special slot in the lid of the capsule and sealed it shut. He took a step back and picked up a wireless headset from a shelf beside the capsule.
Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Good.
Adam returned to his control console. He adjusted the display, transferring an enhanced satellite image of Anchorage and the Cook Inlet to the center screen. The smaller screens on the console now displayed several views of the capsule's interior. With a glance, Adam confirmed that the satellite image was also being projected into the capsule.
You are now in stage two. I want you to concentrate on the image before you. Do you see it?
I see it.
That's very good. Clear your mind of all concerns. I want you to hold on to that image and build upon it. Concentrate. Concentrate. And visualize a storm.
Across the chamber, the capsule began to glow. Far out over the Pacific Ocean, Green Lantern spiraled down toward his target area.
All right, I'm descending to 100 feet. Explain to me again what I'm supposed to be doing out here.
You're gonna try to stop a tsunami. Based on the seismic data gathered from today's quake, our computers have calculated the force of the wave and its most likely path. Now the idea is to intercept it out at sea and wear it down before it can hit the coast of Northern California.
Okay, I've got that. But are you sure of your data? The ocean looks pretty calm to me. No sign of any waves that big.
Now there wouldn't be. Tsunamis are open ocean waves, triggered when seismic activity, in this case the Alaskan quake, generates large-scale motion along the ocean floor. They don't rise as waves until they run up against the coastline, or something like it.
So what you're saying is, if I fake a coastline...
You'll get a wave. A big wave. But you'll have to sink the barrier all the way to the ocean floor. Otherwise, the tsunami will just roll right under it. Think you can handle that?
I'm willing to give it a shot.
Uh-oh. Then you better do it fast. My calculations say the wave will pass through there in less than 5 minutes.
I'm on it. Let's see. We need something solid, like a big reef. Or a barrier island. Yeah!
Energy began streaming from the lantern's power ring, breaking through the surface of the water. Putting his imagination to work, he willed the energy to spread wide, forming an impenetrable field. Through the force of his will, the field grew, thrusting up into the air, forming green mountains. In less than a minute, he built an entire island out of glowing green energy, complete with a pier, a beach, and swaying palm trees.
Hey, not bad.
Green Lantern flew low over the island, surveying his handiwork.
Get a load of this, Adam.
He used his ring to create a flying video camera, beaming an image to the watchtower.
Call the cruise lines. We're open for business.
And very artful. But the important thing is that it stands up to the wave. And to do the job, it needs to be at least 55 feet above sea level.
Don't worry. It is. Give me a little credit. Anyway, I'm still not convinced this tsunami of yours is really coming. Aside from my island, the ocean doesn't look any different.
Be patient, GL. If we've done this right, you should notice something in 5, 4, 3...
Wait, I think I see... Yes! The sea's rising about 100 feet away from me. Oh, man.
It's rising?
Oh, it's rising, all right. 20, 30... Adam, when I get through this...
Lantern? Kyle, you read me? Kyle, this is the watchtower. Come in.
This is Green Lantern. I'm still here. I did it!
Green Lantern? Repeat that.
I said I did it!
The video transmission blinked back onto the watchtower monitor. The waters were subsiding around the lantern's construct as he leapt into the air, sending fireworks streaming from his power ring.
You should have seen it, Doc. It was great. Look, everything I made is still standing, even the palms.
So I see. Good work. I always knew... What? What's this?
What's what?
Oh, that's not right. That's not right at all. These readings don't make any sense.
Adam, you there? What's going on?
I'm not sure, but something new is definitely being added to the mix. And I think things just got a whole lot worse.
Superman crisscrossed the east side of Anchorage, shoring up buildings and rescuing people as quickly as dispatch could direct him. He had just finished handing off a grateful shopkeeper to the paramedics when the transceiver buzzed in his ear.
Superman, come in.
Adam, is that you?
I can hardly hear you over the static.
Yeah, atmospheric interference. Superman, we have an emergency.
Yes, we're dealing with the emergencies. We've had pretty good luck so far, but...
No. We're up against a new emergency. There's an incoming storm.
You're breaking up. What's that about a storm?
There's a storm coming in.
What?
Superman turned to see the blue skies rapidly turning dark. Giant thunderheads were forming overhead, seemingly boiling up from out of nowhere. He stared at the sky in disbelief. He had grown up in the Great Plains of Kansas. He thought that he'd seen it all when it came to storm fronts, but this was something new. He didn't think it was possible for a storm to gather this fast. Gale force winds blew in out of the southwest, churning up the waters of the Cook Inlet. In seconds, massive waves began slamming into the docks at the port of Anchorage, threatening to smash them from their pilings. Visibility quickly dropped to just a few yards. Between the driving rain and the chilling gale, even the infrared images of surrounding buildings began to blur before the man of tomorrow's eyes. A powerful gust of wind struck him sideways, hurling him into the side of a building.
What is this storm?
Superman?
I read you, John. Where are you?
I estimate less than a mile from your current location. Radio communication is down, so I took the liberty of playing switchboard.
Good idea. How bad is it inland?
Not nearly as bad as where you are. Almost everyone has found safe shelter already, and we are helping those few who have not.
Good.
Superman peered out through slitted eyes. If anything, the storm was worsening over the inlet.
Hold on. I have to take care of something out in the harbor.
Flying low over the churning waves, he made his way to a breakwater weakened by the earthquake. Driven by the storm, water poured through a fissure, undermining the protective barrier. Digging in with his feet, Superman stood tall against the churning waves, shouldering one huge boulder after another back into place in the breakwater. The boulders held, but the waves of the Cook Inlet beyond the barrier continued to build, surging over the rock wall, pounding hard against the Man of Steel. Kicking off from the breakwater, Superman soared high above the punishing surf, surveying the rest of the harbor. He said a small prayer of thanks that no one was out on those waters. At least the rain was finally slacking off some. The gale was another story. Just staying in place against those gusts was a struggle, even now that he was prepared for them. Feeling humbled, he turned away from the wind.
John, any luck?
Some. Wonder Woman is with me, and the Flash has evacuated everyone from the Port District. The city's emergency response authority confirms that they have moved everyone back from the immediate vicinity to shelters farther inland.
Superman looked down and saw a red blur sweeping back and forth along the waterfront.
Yes, I can see Wally from here.
The Flash seemed to be in constant motion, nailing up plywood over windows, snagging flying debris, and laying down a wall of sandbags just inside the docks. Superman swooped low over the growing barrier, hauling another dozen sandbags with him.
Good work, Flash.
Hey, thanks, big guy. Let's hope it.
Look out!
A massive lightning bolt struck Superman square in the back.
Superman, are you...
I'll live. That bolt was surprisingly strong.
Yeah, it was like it had your name on it. I could see it coming, but I couldn't do anything about it. If you'd been on the ground, I could have pulled you out of the way, but...
It's all right, Wally. John, can you link us all together?
It is done.
We need you all on the waterfront ASAP.
We're already en route.
Okay. We obviously face a whole new set of problems. Any ideas?
It is conceivable that I could expand to a size large enough to shelter the immediate area with my body. But in order to increase my density enough to do any good, I would have to draw so much mass from the surrounding terrain that I might well trigger more aftershocks. That would be too grave a risk.
For you as well as for Anchorage, John. I can't imagine that kind of strain doing you much good.
Expansion, huh? Hey, Wonder Woman, your plane can morph into all kinds of shapes, could it?
No, Flash. If necessary, I would sacrifice the plane to save lives, but it cannot expand enough to shield an entire city. There are limits even to its exotic technology.
Superman stared up into the sky and started to grin.
No one has to sacrifice anything, Diana. I believe the cavalry has just arrived.
In the stormy skies over Anchorage, Green Lantern willed himself forward against the wind, the emerald light of his ring shielding him from rain and lightning.
GL calling the Justice League. Is anybody out there? Flash? Superman? Can you hear me?
Superman and the Flash are holding back floodwaters in the Port District. Wonder Woman and I are working our way there.
Hi, John. Didn't know you were here.
Green Lantern turned west toward the harbor.
Yeah, I see them now.
Man, first an earthquake and now this unreal storm. Talk about bad luck. Someone must really not like the people around here.
Kyle, we need to shelter as much of the city as possible. How big a protective barrier can your ring create?
Let's find out.
Gathering his will, Green Lantern faced into the storm and thrust out his right arm. The glowing ring on his second finger brightened in intensity, and a beam of emerald energy blasted from its gemstone. The energy stream widened, mushrooming against the force of the storm, until it had transformed into a gigantic umbrella, nearly a quarter of a mile across. Superman, Wonder Woman, and the Manhunter flew up alongside Green Lantern, joining him just as his energy construct fully opened.
Not bad, huh?
He willed the emerald umbrella to spin slowly.
Don't get cute. This isn't Singing in the Rain. And you're no Gene Kelly.
Far below the flying Leaguers, the Flash again became a scarlet blur, adding to and reinforcing his wall with another layer of sandbags, as even higher waves smashed against it.
And your big umbrella isn't helping me a whole lot.
Flash is right. We need something that can hold back the bay.
No problem. If I can stand up to a tsunami, they ought to be able to handle this.
Kyle's brow furrowed above his mask, and his energy construct began to expand and turn outward. At the direction of his will, the umbrella transformed into a great bulwark, plunging down below the surface of the inlet. Its upper reaches curved back over the heart of the city, reflecting the force of the storm away from the areas most ravaged by the earthquake. In minutes, the barrier stretched for miles to either side of him. Along the waterfront, the Flash skidded to a stop and stared up at the green wall.
I see it, but I don't believe it. Where'd you ever find the juice to whip up something like this, Beavis?
Never underestimate the will of a Green Lantern, butthead.
Kyle, are you all right?
Me, Princess? Like I said, no problem. I really did stop a tsunami in mid-ocean not half an hour ago. After something like that, what's a little wind and rain?
Kyle.
Okay, I'll be honest. This is no little storm. In fact, keeping this shield up is starting to be a major pain.
You're not in this alone, Lantern. How can we help?
Not sure. Wish I could sit down.
That's easily taken care of.
With a thought, Wonder Woman brought her plane to her side. Its canopy slid open, and the pilot seat flew free of the cockpit and over to Green Lantern, morphing under him to form a contour fitting.
How's this?
An armrest extruded from the right side of the chair, giving additional support to his ring hand.
Great fit! But what's holding it up?
Graviton propulsion.
I'll take your word for it, Princess.
Kyle settled back into the chair and allowed himself to relax for a moment. Instantly, several ominous cracks began to form in the bulwark.
Whoa!
Jeez, Rainer, keep it together.
Sorry, folks, my bad.
What if we physically supported your wall? Would that help?
It might, if you could defuse the support somehow.
Diana, could your plane?
That he can do.
Diana gazed at her shimmering craft, and it flew toward the bulwark, expanding and reshaping itself in response to her mental command. In seconds, it morphed into a gleaming latticework that extended over nearly two-thirds of the green energy construct.
Come on, boys, let's do it!
Superman, Wonder Woman, and the Manhunter flew to the new support structure. The Man of Steel took up a position in the middle of the lattice, with Diana and John flanking him, each of them about a half mile to either side. As one, the three strongest members of the Justice League flew steadily against the latticework. Green Lantern could feel the weight of the storm begin to ease ever so slightly. The Flash raced back and forth at the foot of the bulwark. His arms spun like windmills as he whipped up a wave of compressed air, adding his own support to Green Lantern's energy wall. 5 minutes ticked by. 10. 15. 20. Through it all, his teammates showed no visible signs of tiring, but Green Lantern was starting to see spots before his eyes. He dearly wished that he'd gotten more than 4 hours of sleep the night before. And then, the skies began to lighten. The relentless pounding of wind, rain, and wave against the Emerald Bulwark began to dissipate.
Guys, I think it may be over.
Watch out. This could just be the eye of the hurricane.
But the clouds continued to break apart. The sun shone through. And as suddenly as it had blown in, the storm was gone. And all was calm again. In his capsule, Mark awoke from a trance-like sleep. The first thing he noticed was a slight ache, like a pinched feeling at his temples. He blinked and looked around him. a bit disoriented by the golden light that seemed to ripple over the curved walls surrounding him. As the top of the capsule swung open, Mark raised his arms from his sides, stretching them up over his head. He brought his hands down in front of his face, staring at them as if seeing them for the first time.
It worked. It worked, didn't it? I could feel the storm.
Yes, Mark, it all went according to plan, just as I knew it would. But tell me, how do you feel now?
What, now? You mean this very minute? Good. Great. No, incredible. Oh, thank you, Adam. I never knew the power could feel like that. It was such a total rush. Oh, sorry. Felt a little lightheaded for a sec.
I know. You'll want to take things a bit easy now. Wielding that much energy will take a lot out of you at first, but you'll find it will get easier and easier with each mission.
Oh, I'm sure it will. And I owe it all to you, Adam. You and your training. It made me see my full potential for the first time. Training made it all happen. Helped me get over my claustrophobia, too. Yeah, I used to hate confinement. That's why I kept breaking out of jail. I couldn't stand being locked up in those tiny cells. But now, I don't mind being sealed away in here at all. In fact, I kind of like it.
Yes, yes. It all becomes easier, doesn't it? Easier as time drifts by.
Yeah. There'll be a lot of missions. Won't there, Saeed?
Yes, Mark. Many, many missions. But now, you must rest.
Mark nodded, and the hydraulic system and the supporting framework slowly raised the foot of his capsule. By the time it was fully horizontal, he was sound asleep. Adam checked the sleeping man's vital signs, then closed the capsule around him. He crossed the room, activating a switch on the control console, and a wall slipped into place, sealing the capsule away. Then Adam again turned his attention to the wall of video displays. A flickering webcam image now showed clear skies over the skyline of the Anchorage area, but none of the cable news stations had issued any updates. One of the small displays on the console lit up. The signal briefly rolled, and a green hooded underling appeared on the screen. Adam pressed a button under the screen.
Report.
Most Holy One. Preliminary readings indicate that the storm's duration was approximately 45 minutes. At peak, its winds were in excess of 150 miles per hour. Property damage from the storm itself remains to be determined. There were some injuries, but no apparent loss of life, thanks to the speedy intervention of the Justice League.
Of course. I would have expected no less from them.
Saeed?
Have our people in Anchorage continue to monitor the situation. They are to pay special attention to the activities of the Justice League.
Your will be done.
The Justice League. Together you may have stood, but individually you can be worn down, weakened. Oh, and even acting together, you cannot be everywhere. Yes, there will be many, many missions.
Just after 5 o'clock local time, at the end of a very long day, Superman stood alone atop the Alaska Communications System building in downtown Anchorage. Communications and city services were back up and running, and state and local authorities had things under control. The Man of Steel glanced down at the streets below, then looked out toward the horizon. The distant mountains stood out in sharp relief in the clean, dry air. Seeing them now, it seemed hard to believe that visibility had been so low, even for him, just a few hours before. Superman took a slow turn around the rooftop, looking out over the panorama of the sprawling city. As he walked, he kept one hand cupped around his transceiver.
I'll file a more complete report later, Adam. As for right now...
Not a problem, Superman. Wish I could have given you all more warning, but that storm just appeared out of nowhere. Anything else I can do for you?
As a matter of fact, there is, Ray. Thanks for asking. Can you patch me through to the Metropolis phone net over our secure line? I need to make a couple of private calls.
Most Holy One, we have a possible situation.
A situation? Explain.
We have reason to believe that 6 containers of chemicals shipped through secondary subcontractors in the Himalayas have been tracked by the Batman.
The Batman? Who allowed this to happen?
Sahib, none of the faithful betrayed your trust. Our operatives report that the Batman was in Butran on another matter, hunting down a party who supplied illicit drugs to criminal organizations in Gotham City. They now believe that during his investigation, he discovered our containers as they sat waiting on a shipping dock. It was just an unfortunate happenstance.
I do not believe in happenstance. I believe in synchronicity. When did the Batman become involved?
Uncertain, Sahib. Perhaps as long as a week ago.
A week? And this is just now being reported?
Forgive me, Most Holy One. Please understand that the Butran connection is but a hypothesis. The containers were shipped last week by air to our own facility in the Cape Verde Islands. By pure chance, a spot review of archived security camera footage turned up a single fleeting image. Computer enhancement and analysis indicates that the image is indeed that of the Batman. This was confirmed just seconds ago, Sahib.
So, he made his way into the Cape Verde base and back out?
Yes, Sahib. The entire island has been locked down and scoured. He is no longer there.
These containers, where are they now?
On a freighter bound for the Antilles.
I assume this freighter is one of ours.
Yes, Sahib. The ship's captain and crew are all believers. At our direction, they have searched their vessel most thoroughly. The Batman is not aboard.
That does not matter. If the containers have drawn his notice, then he is even now tracking that ship. The Batman can be a most persistent foe. Chemicals, you say?
Yes, Sahib. The containers and the rest of the freighter's cargo are all earmarked for Operation New Dawn.
Earmarked, but not essential.
No, Sahib. The freighter and its cargo are expendable.
Then perhaps the Batman will soon be a problem no longer.
No sooner had Superman signed off than a gust of air shot up the side of the ACS building. It was a crimson wind.
There you are. We've been looking all over for you, big guy.
He's up here, checking out the sights.
Say, I'm not interrupting anything, am I?
Not at the moment. I was just wrapping up some personal business.
Sorry, Superman. I didn't realize it.
It's all right, Wally. No harm done.
Even so, I should have knocked or something.
Hey, S-Man!
Superman looked up to see Green Lantern cresting the roof, followed closely by Wonder Woman and the Manhunter.
You're missing another great meal. People just keep adding to the spread that the city laid out for the rescue workers. I thought we'd never pull green jeans here away from the desserts.
There were cookies. Chocolate.
I didn't see you passing up any seconds, Kyle. Oh, here, Superman. I brought you some sandwiches and coffee.
Thanks, Diana. Do I smell peppermint?
It's the shampoo.
The Amazon shook out her thick, dark mane.
Even after all that rain, the chemical smell from the fire was still lingering in my hair. Hera blessed the YWCA for allowing me the use of their showers.
Whoa. There's an image.
Keep those thoughts clean, Ringo.
I meant the image of the goddess Hera blessing the Young Women's Christian Association.
Sure you did.
Well, I think we all did a great job today, under battlefield conditions. Does anyone have any opinions about the strangeness of today's events?
Just that I hope we never have to deal with 2 major emergencies like that again. Not back to back, anyway. That was brutal.
The sudden change in weather was strange, wasn't it? It was capricious, like the act of a mad god.
Well, you would have more experience in such matters than we, Diana. Though it is an unusual coincidence that one natural disaster should so quickly follow another.
But was it just a coincidence, John? And was the storm truly natural? The earthquake showed all the normal seismic markers, and the tsunami was a natural after effect. But I've never seen a storm like that before. And according to the Atom, neither have the weather services. Not only was it sudden and intense, it was more or less confined to this municipality. Outlying areas were virtually unaffected. It was as if the gales were directed right at us.
You think there was a guiding hand behind it?
I don't know. Maybe.
But sure, I fought guys who can make it snow indoors, but none of them have the power to generate a storm that big.
I just think that we should consider the possibility.
I agree. We certainly should not dismiss it out of hand. I propose that I return to the watchtower. With the Adam's assistance, I can use our scanning systems to determine if there were any indications of weather manipulation.
That is an excellent idea, John. But in that case, I should go along and relieve the Adam from monitor duty.
Wonder Woman swept an arm to the north, and her plane rose to roof height.
May I offer you a ride?
I would be honored to accept.
Well, if there's nothing else, we should be off.
Diana lifted her hand, and the plane began morphing, flowing toward her and the Martian. In less than a minute, it had reformed around them into a compact, transparent spacecraft. Just before it sealed shut, Diana smiled at her three remaining teammates and gave a little wave.
Later, boys!
Then the dart-like craft shot straight up into the sky. In seconds, it was gone from human sight.
There she goes, calling us boys again.
Doesn't bother me, Kyle. Does it bother you, Superman?
Never has.
There. You see, Kyle? Superman and I both feel secure in our manhood. You should really work on overcoming those feelings of inadequacy. I hear they sap the will.
I should know better by now than to give you any kind of straight line.
Hey, relax, artist boy. I kid because I love. And because it's so easy. Why so tense, anyway? Oh, I know. You're probably in a hurry to get back to your Caribbean getaway.
Getaway? I wish. I was down in San Maltese working on some promotional brochures for their tourist board. That whole trip was sold to me as a working vacation, but it turned out to be a lot more work than fun. Most I saw of the beach was from a window, and half the time it was raining. I had just finished up when I got the Adams call. Right about now I could use a real break, something to recharge the old batteries.
He stopped and pointed off to the north.
Hey, isn't that Mount McKinley?
Uh-huh. Tallest peak in North America.
Sweet. Always loved mountains. Great vistas. Be nice to add it to my portfolio.
Listen to this. The great artist complains about one job, then tries to give himself more work.
Hey, sketching isn't work. At least, doesn't have to be. And I did make enough cash from that stupid brochure job to afford a little downtime. Yeah, I think I'll hang out around here for a while, take in some of the sights. Maybe help rebuild some roads.
Suit yourself, Slick. Just stay in touch, you hear? Never know when we might need you and your magic ring.
No problemo, man.
Wally's right, Kyle. We couldn't have done it here without you.
Thanks. I'm just sorry I was so late this afternoon. I mean, this morning. You ever need me, I'll be there.
A glowing green aura poured out of his ring, and the Green Lantern lifted off. He paused 15 feet over the rooftop.
That's a promise.
Take it easy! What a character.
Wally, did I ever do anything to make Kyle uneasy?
Uneasy?
Not during missions. In the heat of action, he's fine. But sometimes, like just now, he seems a little nervous around me.
Well, sure. Kyle and I may be about the same age, but I've been doing this since I was a kid. He hasn't had his power ring all that long. Once he's had a chance to really hang out with us, the problem should fix itself. But for now, as far as he's concerned, you're the pro, he's the rookie.
You think I intimidate him?
Look, sometimes I intimidate him. And you are Superman, after all. You know, faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive. I've known you a lot longer than Kyle has, and you still intimidate me sometimes.
Well, I don't mean to.
Oh, I know you don't mean to. You're not Batman, after all.
I... Thanks, Wally. I think.
Hey, it's our problem, not yours. For what it's worth, I don't think you intimidate Diana or John. And probably not Batman, but who knows for sure what the Bat thinks.
I have a pretty good idea on that score. And I'm sorry we don't hang out more, but...
But you're Superman. I understand. You probably have the least free time of any of us. Hey, tell you what, big guy, if you want some hang time, it's a long road back to the lower 48. What do you say we hit it together, just you and me?
You mean, run back? Okay, why not? Be a nice change of pace. Are you ready to go?
More or less. You wouldn't mind a little detour along the way, would you?
I suppose not. What did you have in mind?
The Flash glanced off toward the west.
I want to check out a little place called the Valley of 10,000 Smokes.
Why do you want to go there?
Well, my Uncle Barry told me about the place, and I always wanted to see it. He said that was where he and the rest of the original Justice League first met you, back when he was the Flash and I was just a punk kid. One of the League's earliest missions ended there. According to Barry, that probably would have been their last mission if you hadn't come along.
Well, the Valley is where we all crossed paths for the first time. But the last part may be a bit of an exaggeration.
I don't think so. I never knew Barry to stretch the truth. But I'm willing to hear your side of the story. How about it, big guy?
You may not believe this.
Try me.
I was thinking of that day just this morning. On my way here, John picked up on it too.
There, you see? Great minds still think alike. How could we not?
You do realize the valley is at least 300 miles west of here.
Oh, yeah. And that is so out of our way. 300 miles? We could cover that distance in the time it takes to argue about it.
Do you know how to get there from here?
Not really. I was hoping you remembered the way.
All right. But the terrain in the valley is a little rugged, even for someone as sure-footed as you are. Maybe I should give you a lift.
The Flash clicked his heels together and snapped off an exaggerated salute.
I'd be proud to fly with you, sir. Can I get a window seat?
Superman threw an arm around the Flash, gripping the speedster firmly just under his shoulders.
Don't worry about that. On Air Superman, there are all window seats.
Superman rocketed into the sky and shot southwestward. In a matter of minutes, they had traversed the Cook Inlet and were over the mountains of the Katmai National Park. The Man of Tomorrow slowed, skirting a series of steaming, glacier-capped volcanoes, before dropping down into the valley. The Flash craned his neck, looking all around as they slowly flew over gorges and canyons streaked with layers of vivid oranges and reds.
You know, Kyle is the real nut for sightseeing, but I have to admit, this place is amazing. Check out those colors.
The whole area is a geological treasure trove. The biggest volcanic eruption of the 20th century took place here, when the Nova Rupta volcano blew back in 1912.
Nova Rupta? You're making that up.
I'm serious. The eruption was at least 10 times bigger than Mount St. Helens. Some say hundreds of times bigger. It darkened the skies over most of the northern hemisphere. This valley is the end result of that.
Wow. And that's why they call it 10,000 Smokes?
No. That name came from the thousands of smoking fumaroles that dotted the valley.
Fumaroles? You gotta be making that up.
Steam vents. They've mostly cooled since then. But there are still over half a dozen active volcanoes in the area.
How do you know all this stuff?
I hiked the whole area once, when I was about 19. Got the story from a park ranger.
You hiked it?
I saw a lot of the world that way in my younger days. But did you think I was born wearing this cape?
Actually, I'd never given it that much thought.
Most people haven't. Here we are.
They stood on a lonely plain in the middle of the vast valley. The Flash slowly paced around the area, taking his time for once.
So this is where it happened.
Your uncle was right about where you're standing now when I first spotted the League, fighting one another. Not their fault, of course. They were being manipulated by Zotar. Barry told you about him, I suppose.
Zotar? Some self-styled weapons master from the future, wasn't he? Thought he was pretty hot stuff traveling back in time to field test his super weapons against the League. Yeah, Barry said that he played with their heads.
Which I figured out once I saw his robot. It lurched out from behind a nearby ridge. It was a big one, roughly humanoid in configuration, and it glistened like gold. Would have been about 20 feet tall standing erect, but it moved, stooped over, like a big metal gorilla. I couldn't believe that none of the Leaguers saw the robot. It was so huge. But they paid no attention to it at all. They were so intent on attacking one another. Then I saw a faint ripple of energy just beyond the visible light spectrum coming from a turret mounted in the robot's midsection. So I looked inside.
You looked in... Oh, right, X-ray vision.
And there, hidden away in the robot's chest, was this weird little man hunched over a control panel. I knew that he had to be behind the craziness.
Right. And that's when you came to the rescue. Just your entrance alone made the League stop fighting.
My entrance?
Yeah, you... Well... Granted, I wasn't there, but Barry said it was really something. And don't forget, Zotar's ray cannon was beaming illusions directly into the Leaguers' brains. He made them think that this valley was on another planet and made them see their teammates as hostile alien monsters. That's why they were clobbering one another. And when you came diving out of the sky, they saw you as this big, honking eagle. The sight stopped them all in their tracks. Even Barry.
That I didn't notice. I was focused on the cannon. I didn't know if it could affect me or not, but I wasn't taking any chances. I stayed out of range until my heat vision melted the turret. Then I was able to take more direct action.
Direct? Is that what you call it? The way Barry told it, you slammed into Zotar's robot like a runaway locomotive, only more powerful. He said that you drove it into the ground, ripped through its metal hull, and gutted it with your bare hands. and in under a minute.
That's probably about right. I wasn't timing myself.
Trust me. From the moment you slagged the cannon and the illusion stopped to your cornering Zotar in the wreck of his robot, it was no more than 57 seconds, tops. Barry was always very good at estimating elapsed time.
He was certainly good about explaining Zotar to me. I just about had my hands on that little warlord wannabe when he vanished on me. I didn't know what had happened. There was no sign of Zotar anywhere. I thought he'd escaped justice until the flash in Green Lantern. I mean, until Barry and Hal set me straight. Sorry, Wally.
Hey, it's okay. I still think of them as the Flash and Green Lantern, too. They were good men, Superman. Great men. Barry, he was the best mentor a hyperactive kid like me could ever have hoped for. That's why I wanted to come here. They once stood here, both of them. To me, this is hallowed ground.
I understand.
For a full minute, Superman and the Flash stood side by side, their heads bowed in silence, remembering. Barry Allen had been the Flash, and Hal Jordan the Green Lantern, when the League was founded. Both were gone now. Each had sacrificed himself in the line of duty, and each had left behind a great legacy. After Barry's death, his nephew and protege Wally West had taken on the mantle of the Flash. Still later, young Kyle Rayner had been chosen by an ancient alien being to carry on the tradition of the Green Lantern. Wally finally turned to Superman.
Thanks for bringing me here.
Thanks for talking me into it. Was there anything else you wanted to know about that day?
Oh, I can think of a few hundred things. What do you say we talk on the way home? I can run and talk at the same time. And I can listen, too. Despite what Kyle might tell you?
Sure. Let's go.
In less than a minute, they reached the rocky shores of the Shelikov Strait.
You know, Wally, when you talked about the long road home, I thought we'd be cutting across the Yukon in British Columbia.
Nah, I saw Northern Canada on the way here. Besides, it's more fun to run across water.
For you, maybe.
Hey, you treated me to a free tour of the valley. It's only fair that I return the favor. Come on, run with me along the bank and I'll show you a little trick.
Superman stayed with Flash by sprinting as fast as he could. The two of them had turned to little more than colored blurs, but Flash still had a knowing smile on his face. He suddenly spun around and started running backward.
Okay, big guy. Now give me five.
Okay, but...
A crackle of energy erupted around the two men, and the Man of Steel felt a sudden surge of power.
What do you... Don't ask! Just follow me!
Flash turned and shot out over the strait, moving so fast that his boots barely skimmed the surface of the water. And to his amazement, Superman found himself racing across the waves, keeping perfect pace with a Scarlet Speedster. The two teammates rounded a Frognack Island and sped southeast across the Gulf of Alaska. As they headed out into the North Pacific, Superman looked again at his hand, marveling at the miniature lighting display that rippled between his fingers.
I've never felt anything like this before. Is this
just a little taste of the Speed Force? It's a sort of universal energy that all us flashy types tap into.
I know. You talked about it before, but how did you...
Over the years, I've learned how to transfer a little bit of it into objects in motion. The effect is temporary, though, so don't get too used to it.
Hundreds of miles whizzed by as Superman settled into the rhythm.
Amazing. And you're not even breathing hard. You're nowhere near your top speed, are you, Wally?
Afraid not.
And people think I'm fast.
You are. Compared to them, I'm just faster. It's my specialty. But listen, getting back to Barry and Hal, you said they set you straight about Zotar?
Yes. Hal used his power ring to trace him through a deviation in the quantum field. It turns out that Zotar really was from the future. The 120th century, as a matter of fact. Evidently, he had some sort of fail-safe device that returned him to his point of origin, and directly into the hands of the police in his own time.
Ha! That's great! I'm gonna have to read the file reports on that. All I remembered about that part of the story was Barry saying that justice was done or something.
And he was right. Look out, obstacle dead ahead.
Huh? Where do you see it?
About a mile ahead of them, the ocean began to swell up. They easily avoided the swell, circling around it to watch as a 30-foot humpback whale broke the surface. To the runners, it was as though the giant cetacean erupted from the surf in slow motion. They continued to circle, watching until the whale rose completely up out of the water before turning and streaking away.
Nice call. Being able to see way below the surface must be one handy power.
It is, but I heard him back there long before I saw him. Whale songs have an amazing range, but a lot of it is subsonic.
Yeah? Aquaman said much the same thing. Couldn't prove it by me.
With one last glance at the whale, the Flash turned back to his teammate.
So what was it like for you, meeting the League for the first time?
Oh, it was great. They were all such very different people. But there they were, united, working together for the common good. It was inspiring. The JLA founders were an impressive bunch.
I can imagine. You know, I was just in my teens when I became a Flash in training, and working with Barry was a dream. But every time I met one of his teammates, it just about blew me away. If more than two of them were around, I felt like a kid being allowed to party with the grown-ups. I wish I could have been there that day to see all of you together. That must have been legendary.
It was also a little embarrassing. With Zotar's threat over and introductions made, the others gathered around me as if they thought I could impart some great wisdom on how to be a superhero.
Well,
what?
Did you?
Wally, I hadn't been on the job that much longer than the rest of them. Come to think of it, the Manhunter must have had more experience working in secret all those years.
Oh, sure, he had tons more experience working in secret. John spent entire decades in one disguise or another. That isn't being a public figure. And would he ever have gone public in anything near his true form if you hadn't set such a good example? Bottom line, you made the world safe for big strong guys from other planets.
Well, John said something to me just this morning about how my public debut changed everything.
And he was right. Face it, big guy, you're the man. Superman sets the standard that we're all judged against.
I know, but I've never liked that. We're all individuals. We should be judged by what we can accomplish with what we have.
And you've accomplished more than any of us. You know, Barry always thought the world of you. I think you impressed him more than anyone he'd ever met.
I hope I'll always be worthy of that confidence. Barry impressed me. He was a fine man, Wally, and far too modest about his own accomplishments.
Hey, tell me about it. But you're just as bad. What is it with your generation?
My generation? I'm not that much older than you.
Whatever you say, Patty. One thing I was never completely clear on. As I understand it, on the day you all met, Barry nominated you for membership in the League.
Yes, he did.
But you turned him down. What was up with that?
As I said, I hadn't been Superman all that long, and I was still getting used to the idea of being a public figure myself. Just being Superman can be a full-time job. I wasn't sure I could do that, be a member of the Justice League, and still have a private life. There are times when I still wonder.
I think we all do. In a way, it's kind of reassuring to hear you say that. I always thought you could handle anything.
A common misconception, seemingly held by all of my biggest enemies. At any rate, the founding members of the League were pretty well organized. I let them know they could count on me for help if they were ever in a real bind. But I never thought they needed me around as a regular member.
And yet, whoops, mainland's coming up fast.
Just ahead of them, the rocky coast of Northern California filled the horizon, rushing closer with each second.
Get ready, Superman. Here's where I reclaim the lightning.
Their boots touched solid ground, and the Man of Tomorrow could feel the speed force drain away from him. A continent away, a sleek 80-foot catamaran sailed out into the waters of the Atlantic Ocean, 40 miles off the eastern coast of Trinidad. 300 horsepower diesel engines in each of the twin hulls propelled the craft swiftly through the waves. Within the ship's vast cockpit, a tall, dark-haired man stood at the wheel. He was a handsome man. The movers and shakers of the financial world would have instantly recognized his blue eyes and strong features as those of Bruce Wayne. Wayne was old money. Born to wealth, he remained the principal stockholder of the multinational conglomerate Wayne Enterprises. Some knew him as the founder of the philanthropic Wayne Foundation. More knew him only as a face on the society pages, yet another billionaire playboy who could be expected to crash and burn before he turned 40. Few knew that he led a double life. Tonight, Wayne's attention was riveted on two monitors before him. One showed a night vision view of the open sea ahead of the craft. The other displayed a digital chart of the ocean, showing a telltale point of light. At the rear of the cabin, a lean, balding figure walked up from below decks.
I do wish you'd allowed me to stock the provisions for this excursion, sir. The only thing in the galley besides fruit and bottled water is a large crate of these MREs?
Meals ready to eat, Alfred.
Ready to eat, perhaps. But meals? I think not.
Sorry, but we had to move quickly. There wasn't time to gather anything but the basics. At any rate, I'm starting to believe that this won't be a long voyage.
Well, let us hope not. What is the current location of our prey?
Take a look.
Wayne pointed to the stationary light on the display monitor.
That's the global positioning signal from the freighter that set out from the Cape Verde Islands last week. They haven't moved in the past hour.
They've stopped?
Dead in the water, right near the edge of the continental shelf. It's not too deep at their location. I think they've dropped anchor.
Why do you suppose they've stopped out there?
I don't know, but something is up. Perhaps they're awaiting a rendezvous.
With whom? There are no other ships in the immediate area.
No one with an active GPS transponder. But a ship without a transponder, or one running with it turned off as we currently are, or a submarine, possibilities are endless.
And I'm sure you've considered all of them.
I try to. I think this is close enough. I'd like to keep the horizon between the ship and the target.
He hit a release switch, and the catamaran's anchor began its descent to the ocean floor.
Are my working clothes ready?
I've laid them out for you below.
Then let's get to work.
Alfred followed him below decks, waiting respectfully outside the door of the master stateroom while his employer changed.
If you don't mind my saying, sir, you've expended a great deal of time and energy tracking these containers across the globe. That's a lot of effort for, what, a shipment of poisonous chemicals?
Components of a highly toxic compound, Alfred, derived from the venom of a particular elephant snake. But it's not so much what's in the containers as where they may be bound. After all, many such substances are used in legitimate scientific research.
But you do not believe that is the case in this instance?
No, I do not.
Wayne stepped from his stateroom, dressed in a close-fitting dark gray bodysuit. Black boots reached from toe to mid-calf. Black trunks covered his lower torso, and a wide, pouched belt was cinched around his waist. Across his chest was the stylized silhouette of a bat.
The labeling on those containers linked them to an Asian company that is a front organization for the Order of Nullapambu, one of the deadliest cults I've ever faced.
That lot? Mad as hatters, every one of them, and all under the sway of an absolute sociopath.
Yes. I was sorely tempted to destroy those components rather than let them fall into his hands. That would have gotten the Order's attention too soon.
Wayne pulled on a pair of black gloves.
And that fanatic has eluded me for too long. So, I let the poison pass unadulterated, risking that I could track him down and stop him before he gets a chance to use it.
And what is one more risk in your life? You're so good at finding new ones to take.
Life is all about taking risks, Alfred.
The younger man pulled a black horned mask into place over his head, and suddenly, Bruce Wayne was gone, replaced by the Batman. The dark figure stood differently, every muscle like coiled steel, ready to spring. Even his voice had changed.
I seem to recall you telling me that years ago.
And of all the pieces of advice I've given over the years, that had to be the one you didn't ignore. No cape tonight, sir?
No room, Alfred. It'll be tight quarters in my runabout.
The Batman flipped a series of switches on the underside of a counter, and a section of decking slid aside, revealing a small one-man submersible. The Dark Knight popped the tiny craft's canopy. Alfred switched on a remote monitor and double-checked the GPS readings.
Still no movement from the freighter. I do wish you'd let me bring the catamaran in a little closer. They wouldn't see us running dark.
Negative. If they're at all alert, they'd pick up the cat's engines on sonar. And I'd rather not announce my presence until I know more of what they're up to.
But won't the submersible...
It's specially designed for silent running. If anything shows up on their scopes, it'll appear as nothing more than a school of fish.
It also has just barely enough air in its tanks to get you there and back.
I know. That's why you're along. If something goes wrong, I'll whistle, and you can come pick me up.
As Superman and the Flash raced up and over the rocky shoals north of Point Arena, California, the speedster obligingly cut his pace in half. In seconds, the two shot through the Redwood Empire and raced south into the San Joaquin Valley. 5 miles west of Modesto, the Flash picked up the conversation.
So, as I was about to say, here you are today, a card-carrying member in good standing of the Justice League. Mind if I ask what made you reconsider?
Times changed. The League changed. The Manhunter is the only one of the founding members still active in the current team. The Black Canary left the active roster some time ago. Aquaman more recently. Think about it, Wally. How many different people have been part of the League at one time or another?
Beats me. There'd been a couple dozen by the time I joined, and I lost count after that. Now that I think of it, I joined before you did. As a regular member, I mean. What's wrong with that picture?
And how many deaths have there been among the membership?
Too many. At least half a dozen.
The two leaguers sprinted on in silence through the passes of the Sierra Nevada mountains, thinking of old friends and allies. 100 miles passed before the Man of Steel spoke again.
Maybe if I'd been a member of the League then, things would have turned out differently.
Hey, you don't know that. I don't care if you are Superman. You can't take on the responsibilities of the whole world.
The responsibility comes with a job, Wally. You know that. We're more than just super-powered individuals. Every time we put on these outfits, we become symbols of hope to everyone around us. But when we're in the Justice League, we're not alone. We're part of a community. I think that's why I joined the team. Because you're right. We, people like us, can't do it all.
The Flash nearly missed a step, but recovered instantly. People like us. He couldn't believe that Superman was putting them both on an equal footing.
No. No, we can't. But I want you to know...
Hold on. I hear something.
What do you hear?
Siren. Looks like the beginnings of a high-speed chase about 7 miles to the south.
Shall we?
After you.
Twilight was giving way to night as a dinged and dented late-model pickup truck roared up Route 95, 5 miles north of Goldfield, Nevada. In the driver's seat, Orrin Skinner sat gripping the wheel, his foot jamming the gas pedal to the floor. On the passenger seat beside him sat 5 cartons of cigarettes, several six-packs of beer, and a plastic bag holding $147 in small bills and rolls of coins, all taken just 15 minutes before from a 24-hour Lexoil mini-mart at Scotty's Junction. Orrin tried to keep his eyes on the road as he nervously lit up a smoke. He kept glancing back to his rearview mirror. When his truck cleared a rise, the mirror caught a glimmer of distant flashing red lights.
Damn! Thought I'd lost him.
No, in fact, I think he's gaining on
me. Orrin's cigarette flew over the wheel and onto the dashboard. His head jerked to the left, and through the open window, he saw a masked man, all in red, pull alongside his truck. On foot, Orrin looked over at his speedometer. The indicator was just ticking past 110 miles per hour.
110? You know, maintaining a speed like that isn't good for your engine. And I'd buckle that belt if I were you. What if you had to stop suddenly?
Ah! Orrin hit the brakes, and the man in red shot past him. His truck fishtailed as he fought to bring it under control. It veered off the side of the road and headed out across open country, slowing more as it bounced over the uneven ground.
Now, see, that's just bad for your suspension. Don't you agree, Superman?
Absolutely, Flash.
Orrin's head shot left and then right. Not only was the masked runner keeping pace with him again, but Superman now flew alongside his truck. That was too much for Orrin. He hit the brakes hard.
Okay. Oh, jeez, I give up. Give up, please. Please don't hurt me.
Just keep those hands where we can see them, Chuckles.
The Flash gingerly pulled a small pistol from Skinner's right front pocket.
Now, what have we here?
It ain't loaded. Honest.
Is that so? He's telling the truth. No bullets.
I wouldn't really shoot nobody. I swear.
No, you wouldn't shoot anyone. You just like to rob people.
Superman pulled a long jack handle from behind the driver's seat.
Hands behind you now. There you go. One set of improvised handcuffs.
Superman then picked the man up by his belt and placed him in the truck bed.
Just sit tight, and I'll try not to drop you.
Try not to drop me, but you just set me down to... Oh, my God!
This is Sheriff's Deputy Newman. The suspect's got off the road. I'll be pursuing... Hold on.
Deputy Newman saw a pair of headlights headed his way, about 20 feet off the ground. It got closer, and then he saw the Man of Steel carrying a pickup truck on his shoulders. Superman landed just 10 feet in front of the patrol car, setting the truck down along the side of the road. As Newman exited his patrol car, the caped man hoisted Orrin Skinner out of the back of the truck.
Deputy, I believe this is the man you were looking for.
And this should be all the evidence you need to hold him.
Well now, we've been looking for this particular bird for some time.
All right, Skinner, you have the right to remain silent.
I know, I did it, see? I robbed the mini-mart, so just take me away, please.
You look like you've got everything under control here.
He's all yours, officer.
Up, up, and away!
Did that just happen the way I think it happened?
It wasn't no pipe dream, if that's what you mean.
Oren half turned in the deputy's grasp and showed Newman his wrists. A jack handle, twisted in a graceful figure eight, bound them tightly together.
Oh man, was that great! After spending most of the day getting battered around by the elements, it felt so good to apprehend one simple criminal.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. Chuckles was probably only half a beer and another 5 miles per hour from rolling that old truck. If only they could all be that easy.
Wally, back at Anchorage, you said that you'd fought opponents who could make it snow indoors?
Sure have. Guys like Captain Cold and the Weather Wizard. Well, to be accurate, Cold is more of a walking ice machine with an attitude. But the Weather Wizard is the one who really lives up to his name. You name it, the Wiz can produce it. Rain, sleet, snow, or hail. Makes him sound like the Postal Service's arch enemy, doesn't it? I've even seen him produce miniature tornadoes.
But nothing like what we encountered today.
Oh, no way. The weather patterns that the Wiz can cook up usually cover a building or a few blocks. The biggest thing he ever hit, as far as I know, was a small town in Wyoming. And by small, I mean tiny. I've never run up against a Rainmaker with the kind of power we face today.
I have once. There was a man who called himself Stratus. But that was years ago, and he brought on his own death.
Well then, unless his ghost is out and about, we should be able to cross him off the list. Hey, unless I'm mistaken, we just crossed the Kansas state line.
Stands of corn and wheat whizzed by as Flash and Superman sprinted over the plains. With few obstacles on the flat, wide-open spaces, they shot across the 34th state in a matter of minutes. Soon the glow of Keystone City appeared on the horizon.
All right, almost home.
Yes, almost home.
Well, we made pretty good time. Say, do you want to stop in for a cup of coffee?
Thanks, Wally, but I'd better take a rain check on that. There are a few things I should be doing.
I hear that. Never any rest for the weary, is there, Superman? You know, even with that storm on top of the earthquake and all, this was a good day. A long one, but a good one. Thanks for letting me bend your ear for the last 3,000 miles.
No problem, Wally. I really enjoyed it. And it's important to remember absent friends. We can't live in the past, but it's a bigger mistake to forget it. My father once said, you can't tell where you're going if you don't know where you've been.
Yeah? Well, your pop sounds all right.
Yes, he is. I'm very lucky.
I'll say. My father and I haven't gotten along since, well, ever, really. That's why Barry was so important to me.
Wally, knowing your uncle as I did, I think he'd be very proud of you. He left some big boots to fill, but you've done well by him.
You think?
Wally's cheeks reddened to nearly the shade of his mask.
You know, Wonder Woman said much the same thing to me just a couple of months ago. Coming from you, or from both of you, that means a lot.
I just call him as I see him, pal.
The Man of Steel held out his hand, and the Flash shook it.
Thanks, Superman.
Thank you, Flash. I'll see you later.
For a moment, Superman stood alone on the prairie, staring after the departing speedster.
The league certainly has changed a lot over the years.
Superman leapt high into the sky.